Yes. Wait, is that because you... Oh, yes, it's coming out. Here we go. Nice one. Look at that. Brilliant. Okay. So, I just want, in the short time here, just going to try and communicate the key message from these few chapters, or what I see as the key message. We're rattling through 1 Corinthians, and I'm aware that actually, you know, and Therese, when she was looking at the chapter she looked at, you know, we had the conversations about there's so much in these chapters. You try and distill, actually, how do you get that down into any sort of talk? You try and distill what you think is the key message. But actually, the encouragement is to go back and take that and look at these books and feed and learn and discuss amongst ourselves. This, at the beginning of this, if anyone's got their Bible or their phone, when you jump to 1 Corinthians 8, there's another change of subject. So Paul sort of changes his subject again. And here he's now addressing questions that the Corinthians have asked him. So the Corinthian church wrote him a letter, and he's now starting to address those questions. And I suppose the equivalent today would be like a texting, really. So texting people questions. So here, and this is the question. So the Corinthians are saying to him, "Hi, Paul, what about food sacrificed to idols? Can we eat it or not?" So by the end of today, we'll be clear on that. Relevant question to us today. What about food sacrificed to idols? But fortunately, well, and the answer actually, if we skip forward one, the answer that Paul gives is, can we eat it or not? Yes, sometimes. Possibly not sometimes. Definitely not sometimes. That's Paul's answer to them. So it's sort of no clearer if you're just to look at that. But actually, fortunately, I mean, Paul says it depends on who you are, it depends on who you're with, and it depends on the situation, is what Paul actually says in the letter. But actually what Paul does is he goes over, he's not that interested in giving them the yes and the no. It's not about the answer. It's really what Paul wants to do is he wants to address the issue that lies underneath the question. He wants to, ultimately, the Corinthians to be able to answer and work this stuff out for themselves. And actually, in each case, so in each question, so as you go through the letter, Paul addresses lots of different things. He addresses divisions in the church, wisdom, sexual practice, food sacrificed to idols, worship, the gifts. He goes through the book addressing all these different things, some of them questions and some of them issues. But in each time and each situation, the issue at the heart of it is a misunderstanding or a misapplication of the gospel. And in the first four chapters, it appears that the Corinthians hadn't made a connection between what they believed, so this gospel, and actually how they lived their lives. There was a bit of a disconnect. So they believe the gospel. They believe that Jesus came to die for them. They believe God loved them so much that God sent his son. And they believed that Jesus loved them so much that Jesus died for them. They believed this gospel. They believed that event. And they put their faith in it to save them. And God blessed them, gave them gifts and gave them all this knowledge. But actually what they didn't see was how, and what they didn't seem to understand was how this same gospel, this same event in history was not just to save them, but was to shape every area of their lives. That their lives were to be shaped by this gospel. It was to be the model that they modelled their lives on as well. And pretty much the whole letter is Paul trying to get them to see this. So when you look at the answer to all the questions, he basically takes them back to the cross and says, hang on, let's go back and see how Jesus lived. Let's go back and see this gospel. And let's see how that applies to this situation that you've got. And so I wanted to look first, just very quickly, at Paul, because Paul understood this in his life. And I want to look at another little letter, just a quote from a letter that he wrote to a different church. This is the Roman church. And this is Paul's heart. So just he's talking about the Jews, his fellow Jewish mates, brothers and sisters. And these are guys that have persecuted him. These are guys that want him dead at the time he was writing it, that he'd been beaten up by them and everything else. And this is what he says about them. He says, "I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." That's an amazing verse, isn't it? That Paul, this guy, says, do you know what? I'd be cut off from Christ if it meant that my brothers would be saved. That's Paul's heart right there. Unceasing anguish. I mean, the more I read that, the more I've always struggled to understand that passage, that Paul would say such a thing. But what Paul's doing there is demonstrating his love for his brothers and sisters and the willingness to lay down his life. What he's demonstrating there is how he was the same as Jesus, how he was imitating Jesus. And he often says that in this letter, be imitators of me as I am of Jesus. And so here, if we go back to the letter, when the Corinthians are saying, what about food sacrificed to idols? Surely we're free to eat it, aren't we? You know, you can almost hear Paul saying, guys, you're missing a point. You're sort of missing the point a bit here. The question about whether or not you're allowed to, you know, whether you're free to eat it, whether you have a right to eat it, you know, or whether it's right to eat this meat. The question is not that. The question is, does what you're doing point people to Jesus? Does what you're doing point people to Jesus? Does it create opportunity for the gospel to be advanced, or does it create a stumbling block for people? So the issue really here is that the idol worship was massive at this in Corinth, and there were big festivals where they would sacrifice loads of meat, and the meat was blessed in front of these idols. The idol worship is sort of felt like that part of the god was imparted into the meat, and then you'd eat the meat and you'd be part of that process. And then all this meat, because there was tons of it, was then gone and sold in the marketplace. And the question was, can we buy this? One of the questions was, can we buy this meat and eat it? Because surely idols are nothing. So later on in chapter 8, the Corinthians say, we know idols are nothing, so why can't we just eat this meat? We're free to eat it. Why can't we just eat this meat? And that was the issue that was on the table. But then there were other Corinthians that had come from this cult who still saw that that's wrong. If we're Christians, we shouldn't be eating this meat because that's to do with idols, so that's wrong. And what Paul is saying is, if you're not feeling like that, if you're a Christian that doesn't see anything wrong with this, because there is only one God, these idols are nothing, this meat is all right to be eaten, is what he says at the start. But if that's causing your brother to stumble, if that's causing your brother to have issues, then it's wrong to eat that. That's wrong to eat that. And here Paul brings in probably one of the key messages of 1 Corinthians. So if I was to give a handful of key messages, this would be one. And it is, does it build up? Does what you're doing build others up? Because love builds up. So the opening part of chapter 8 is, this knowledge that you've had doesn't build anyone up. Love builds up. Does what you're doing build up? The whole of this letter talks about building up, building one another up, building up people that don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus. And building up, not in the sense of making you feel good, but building up as in our knowledge and our relationship with Jesus. Does it bring people to Jesus? Is it loving my brother next to me? And really, all I want to do is flick through now, literally last few minutes, is flick through these 8, 9 and 10. I've just pulled out some verses just to try and help us see what Paul's talking about and Paul's heart in all this. As he goes through, so 8:13 is this one. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I'll never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. And as more I've been thinking about that, I thought, you know, that seems like a little thing, doesn't it? But actually, that's quite a big thing. To decide you're never going to eat meat because it causes offence or causes someone else to stumble. In chapter 9, he looks at rights. He says, don't I have the right to, he says, take a wife with me when I go and tour? Don't I have a right to be paid by the people I visit? I've got that right. I've got that right. But he says, nevertheless, I've not made use. We've not made use of our rights, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Endure anything. And then he goes on to talk about freedom in the next one. He says, for though I am free from everything, I'm free from all, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. And again in 9, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. We can do everything. We're free to do everything. But does it build up? Do these things build up? Build up in our knowledge of God and our relationship with God? Does it build my brother up in his relationship with Jesus? Does it help my brother see Jesus? And in at the end of chapter 10, give no offence to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. And then he finishes the next verse with, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So when they ask him about eating certain foods, his answer is, does it build up? Does it allow more people to hear the gospel? Does it enable more people to be saved, or does it put an obstruction to that? And as you look through these, Paul never stops thinking about winning people. All this whole 8, 9 and 10 is all about winning people. Winning people, saving people, Christians or non-Christians. Paul wanted everyone, all people he came into contact with, to be built up more and more in their relationship with Jesus, to be taken from not knowing Jesus to knowing Jesus, and to be built up in that relationship. Everything was around that. And he was willing to do whatever it took, reading this, not compromise the gospel at all, but to sacrifice everything that was non-essential, to throw off everything that was non-essential if it meant that the gospel would be heard. Phil Moore, and we've got some copies of his books back there. He's done a little sort of devotional on 1 Corinthians. It's worth reading, and we have got copies that folks can have at the back. In the chapter he talks about on here, he uses this illustration of the rescue swimmers in the US Coast Guards. These guys, if we flick to the next slide, going back to this one, US Coast Guards was founded in the 1700s by a guy called Alexander Hamilton. And if you want to know anything more about him, speak to Joel Vincent, who knows everything about Hamilton. He's just been to see the play in London. But these guys jump. So these are the rescue swimmers from the US Coast Guards. And these guys jump into the sea, stormy oceans, to rescue people that are drowning. And they die rescuing people they don't know. And Paul likens this, or Phil Moore likens this, to what Paul's calling the Corinthians to do. And calling us to do, to be willing to throw off everything in order to get within arm's reach of people that are drowning. Everything that's non-essential, to throw off all the peripheral stuff to get within arm's reach of people that are drowning. And if we flick to the next one, here, that's one of the rescue swimmers just hanging on as that woman is rescued, saved and lifted back up to the helicopter. And so that, for me, is the heart of those chapters. It's Paul saying, do you know, this is how we decide what we do. What's peripheral? What can go? How can I get within arm's reach of these people? And one thing I've always loved about Grace Church is that outward focus. That actually, ever since Grace Church was planted here, it's about being involved in the community. It's about finding areas that we can get involved in and being in the community, things that we love doing, other areas, and actually mixing with the community so that we are in there, so that we are within arm's reach of people, so that we're in arm's reach of those that need saving. That it gives a platform for the gospel. And that came up on Wednesday at the family evening, about actually stirring that in us again. Stirring in us where perhaps that's gone a bit cold, in a sense, or perhaps where we're not so involved in things or stuff that we were doing once but aren't so much doing now. And we were talking about that a little bit, and Moz had a word about it was a log burner. In fact, yeah, can we play this? So this is my log burner at home, if it will play, this afternoon. So health and safety was all sorted out. Don't worry about that beforehand. This is Joe Science. So this is a sort of smouldering log burner, and just some paper thrown on, and then a bit of air in the bottom, and that paper just bursts into flames. And Moz had the picture that actually we're sort of smouldering a bit, you know, that the heat's there, we're smouldering, but actually God was wanting to blow the Holy Spirit into us, you know, the Holy Spirit to be blowing over us, and he would fan into flames the things in us. So some of these things that perhaps have just smouldering there in the background, and us as a church. And there was feeling from some folks there that, yeah, there are things I want to do this. There were some ideas, some good ideas from that evening. But I wanted today, which is why this is shorter, we're going to go to some worship, is to give the Holy Spirit time to do that in and amongst us now. That actually to work in and amongst us now, to fan this, you know, this whether it's something that's smouldering, gone cold in us, but to fan in us this desire again to get out there and be those rescue swimmers here in Bromsgrove and in the communities that we're in. There was a word that we had as a church right back at the start before I joined Grace Church, and I read it on Wednesday. I just wanted to read it again because this is about a word that was given to us in 2006 by Andrew Davies. And some of you all heard bits of it through the food and enjoyment, and it will come into the kingdom. But this is the rest of the word. It says, I feel I've got a word for you as a church. God is wanting to say that you're truly not a community of the 10 days. So that's the 10 days before the Holy Spirit came on the disciples. You're not a community of the 10 days. And that he's made you to be something quite distinct and something quite different. And something that actually doesn't seem like it's going to fit in sometimes. I feel God is saying through your food and enjoyment together, they're key in seeing many coming into the kingdom of God. He's going to give you unusual ways to win the lost. That was a word to us as a church. I want the Holy Spirit to move in us again. I want the Holy Spirit to revive that in us again as a church. You know, that's great, exciting. And I think actually as I look round, stuff's like, there's another word Tina had for us was of a coral reef, where there was this sort of a huge coral reef, but it was a sort of bits of it were really colourful and everything else, and bits weren't. And actually there's bits in the church you can see that are really folks that are really, you know, the Holy Spirit's moving, and there are other bits. And I look at my own life as well, you know, and I think, you know, I want the Holy Spirit more in my life. I want that fanning to flame. I want to be able to say what Paul said about his brothers and sisters. You know, that's what I want. And sometimes, you know, life's busy and it's hard to sacrifice, isn't it? And I know I can't do that on my own strength. I can't do it. I need the Holy Spirit to fan that into flame into me so that actually I can lay down my life. I can do all those things Paul's talking about in there. That I can leap out of that helicopter into that stormy ocean to risk, you know, your own life to lay aside that for those that are drowning. And so if the worship band want to come up, we go. Some folks I think have been praying about and whether there's any words people want to bring, but we're just going to have a time again of worship. I think it would be good for folks that want to be prayed for to be filled with the Spirit, to do that now, to put their hand up and, you know, to say, yeah, that'd be good. Will you pray for me? And I would, so I'd appreciate someone praying for me. That'd be good. Yeah. And I think, and if there's words you have for people, this is a great opportunity to do that. Let's mingle. Let's be that people, building one another up, as this letter's all about. We've all got gifts. God's given us gifts, and the purpose of those gifts is to build the person up that's next to me into that relationship in Jesus, to build that person up, to be that rescue swimmer. To be that rescue swimmer, to take people. This series is called Two Worlds Collide. There are two kingdoms. We are living in a kingdom that is going on forever. We are in that kingdom now, but there's people living next door and all around us that aren't, that are perishing and will perish with that with the old kingdom, with the kingdom of this world. And we're called to take those people, to drag those people from death to life. And that's what Paul's getting at, I think, in these chapters. Actually, come on, guys, you're missing the point if you think it's about food and if you think it's about, yes, you can do this, no, you can't, and a set of rules. This is about what advances the kingdom, what shows people Jesus, and throw off everything that's just peripheral to that. So, yeah, Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come. We want to be a people, Holy Spirit, that lives in the joy and in the fulfillment and in the gifts of the kingdom that we now live in. We want to be a people that demonstrate what it is to be children of the King. And we want to be a people that's not afraid to throw off everything else that is unnecessary, everything else that burdens people. We want to know what all that is. What is it that we can ditch? What is it that we can put aside to get within arm's reach of people that are drowning? Jesus, make us a church that isn't conforming, just as that word said that we had before, that doesn't conform to traditions, that doesn't add stuff that's unnecessary, but is stripped right back to what is necessary to save, Jesus. That gospel of you. Teach us what is necessary to save and what can be stripped off, and make us a people that is not afraid to leap into waters to rescue those that are drowning. And as we turn to worship you now, yeah, would you speak to us? Would you stir in us? Would you fan into flame, just like that picture there? Fan into flame, God, what you've put within us, and those desires and that desire to see your name lifted up here in Bromsgrove again, and people come to know you. Amen.